The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. The British author C.S. Lewis was a great modern Christian theologian. He was not Catholic, alas, but amazingly, his writings have brought more people into the Catholic faith than the Anglican faith. And with the Anglican ordinariates developing around the world, in which a number of Anglicans and Episcopalians are returning to the Catholic faith, I wonder how he would fare in that process as well. But at least his good friend, J.R.R. Tolkien, was Catholic. But in his Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis weaves his theology and his faith into the elements of the story, but there's only one place in the entire seven novels in which he hints at some theology of a Trinity, which the Anglican Church professes, as we do. It's in a moment in the book called The Horse and His Boy, about a non-Narnian character, a pagan character, if you will, if you're to compare it. In his particular journey and discovery of faith in the Narnian mystery and his encounter with the great lion Aslan. Throughout the story, he has these various encounters of a mysterious being that speaks to him, or just that awesome presence he seems to be aware of. And in this particular point, toward the end of the story, The Horse and His Boy, he encounters a great voice in the midst of the darkness of night. He can't see what the source of that voice is, but that voice reveals to him that he was that lion that was present throughout Shasta's journey, revealing himself to be a lion, and obviously a great lion that Shasta is afraid of and perhaps might want to eat him. But at a certain point, Shasta asks, who are you? Myself, said the voice, very deep and low, so that the earth shook. And again, myself, loud and clear and joyful. And then the third time, myself, whispered so softly you could hardly hear it, and yet it seemed to come from all around you as if the leaves rustled with it. Shasta was no longer afraid that the voice belonged to something that would eat him, nor that it was the voice of a ghost. But a new and different sort of trembling came over him. Yet he felt glad, too. This is perhaps the closest C.S. Lewis gets in the Chronicles of Narnia to expressing a kind of Trinitarian identity with the lion Aslan, who is the figure of the divine in the Chronicles of Narnia. And on this particular day following Pentecost Sunday, we as a church celebrate that mystery of our faith, which we speak of as the Holy Trinity. It's an interesting bone of contention between traditional Christians, I mean, even the Anglicans profess a Trinitarian faith, and some of the more recent non-denominational Christian faiths, which insist one God, and even a couple of my homilies on Trinity Sunday that I've uploaded get the usual responses that there's only one God, and nowhere in the Bible do we see the term Trinity. And they're right. The term Trinity is a product of tradition, Trinitas, first coined in the West by a father of the church called Tertullian, and coined a little bit earlier in the East. We don't find Trinity in the scriptures, although we do find Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sometimes even together. And it is the traditional term in which the church expresses and teaches and can best describe this mystery of the God we come to worship, and this God that Jesus revealed as a Father from whom he was sent and with whom sends the Holy Spirit to guide the church. Virtually throughout the entire year, we're celebrating the Son and the mystery of Jesus, his teachings, his work on earth, the sacrifice which we celebrate on the altar. Last week, we celebrated the Holy Spirit, as we do whenever we celebrate the sacrament of confirmation. This Sunday is really perhaps the only Sunday in which we give some attention to the identity of God as Father, even as all of our prayers in our liturgical celebrations are addressed to the Father. And perhaps it's apropos because on this particular day, as a nation, we are celebrating Father's Day, a day in which we remember the role of fathers in the lives of children. And may I take this opportunity to wish a happy Father's Day to all those to whom it applies. And let me clarify, that does not include me. Okay? Now I know someone after Mass is going to come up and say, "Oh, Father, you're the spiritual father." Just ask yourself this, folks. As of next Sunday, I will have been ordained for 18 years. Do you think I have never heard that from anybody? And that you're the first to give this great revelation? I'm very happy in my vocation, and I don't think it lacks anything where it is needed to have a rather folksy and, I think, corny application to my role. And in fact, when you think about it, even though I'm addressed as Father, my role is more reflective of the presence of the Son, of Christ, that presence of Christ with you in this worship, and the work that Christ continues to do in the church. But this isn't spiritual Father's Day. This isn't Father Figures Day. This is Father's Day, and we honor the men whose vocation it is to raise children, to raise and train children for our society and for our church. And I don't want to diminish that in any way, because we see how downplayed the role of fatherhood is in our society today, sometimes even to the point of mockery. When you look at Mother's Day, it celebrates the mothers, maybe inclusive of grandmothers. But when it comes to Father's Day, we want to apply it to every other person except the one to whom it belongs, whether it's a spiritual father, a father figure, an honorary father. But I like to focus on the fact that this is a day for the dads, perhaps also the grandfathers, but those whose vocation it is to raise children. And that vocation is not mine. That vocation is yours, to all the dads out there. And it's a vocation that reflects the importance of that relationship between the father and his children, which is what we honor and recognize in designating God as Father with the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're speaking of relationship in the triune God that we honor and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're not just functions, and I know in some circles it's popular to not speak of the Trinity in terms of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In this age of inclusivity and political correctness, in some circles you'll hear it referred to as Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. But that reduces our God to functions. To functions, rather than to the relationship that it shares. God the Father, yes, is the Creator, but that wasn't done to the exclusion of the other two. In fact, in the story in the Bible, the very, very beginning of the book of Genesis, we hear it said, "In the beginning, when God created the earth was a formless wasteland, darkness covered the abyss, and a mighty wind swept over the waters." And we recognize in that the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then God said, "Let there be light." God spoke his word, a word that became flesh in Jesus Christ. And we see the very presence of the Holy Trinity in that moment of creation. So even as we designate the Father as creator, it's not done exclusively of the other two. Yes, Jesus is the Redeemer, but his act of redemption is not exclusive of the other two, because he was sent by the Father, he fulfilled the will of his Father, and as we read throughout the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Luke, he was guided by the Holy Spirit throughout his ministry, a spirit that he gave to his disciples and gave to the church. Yes, the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier, but it is not sanctifying exclusively of the other two. And so we honor a God who is not just functions or masks, but a God that shares a relationship with itself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a relationship that is now extended to humanity made in its image and likeness. And we celebrate that in the redemption that Christ has brought us, and this relationship we continue to share with our God in the sacramental life of the church. And the very fact that we are made in God's image and likeness, and we are drawn into that mystery by the sanctifying work that Christ gave the church through this Eucharist, through the sacrament of baptism, through our constant call to turn away from sin, to be reconciled in the sacrament of reconciliation, to the sacrament of confirmation in which the Holy Spirit is poured forth, sent from by the Father and the Son, to the sacrament of holy orders in which we, through the grace of God, reflect the leadership and work of Christ in leading the church to the Father, even through the sacrament of holy matrimony in which the relationship of the husband and wife reflects that relationship of love between God and the church, that humanity caught up in the love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And ultimately, the sacrament of the sick, in which we are joined to the suffering Christ, who fulfilled that work of his Father, being moved by the Holy Spirit in his death on the cross. And all throughout our life as people of prayer, everything we do is done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We begin and end every prayer. We bestow blessings, invoking the name of the Trinity. All prayer, if you listen closely in the Mass, is addressed to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit is God forever and ever. Throughout the Eucharistic prayer, we hear directed to God the Father, but references to the Son and the Holy Spirit. The very creed we profess, we believe in one God, the Father with all his attributes, the Son with all his attributes, and the Holy Spirit with all his attributes. The essence of our creed invokes that Trinitarian God. And so we come on this particular Sunday every year following the Feast of Pentecost and a week before we celebrate the Most Holy Eucharist, the Body and Blood of Christ, and the Feast of Corpus Christi, we come to particularly focus on the center of our faith. And at a time in which many people who call themselves Christian will emphasize their faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? And that is true. For us, it doesn't stop there, to the point where we can say believing in Jesus Christ is only part of it, because we must believe in the God that Jesus, whom we believe in, revealed to us. And the God that Jesus revealed is a God that we call the Trinity, that great mystery of three persons, distinct persons in one God, who we invoke, worship, honor, and in all things and all prayer done in his holy name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.